The Redeemed Life Radio broadcast is a ministry of Redeemed Church, now meeting at Groove Nation Performing Arts Center, 3000 Columbia House Boulevard in Vancouver, Washington. Come experience Redeemed Church live this Sunday at 10:30.
Give thanks to God, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those He has gathered from every land. We testify to the work of His hand.
Hi, I'm Steve Livengood. My wife Shelley and I welcome you to the Redeemed Life Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Redeemed Church in Vancouver, Washington. The purpose of this radio broadcast is to bless you and build you up in your faith in Jesus. Now let's get right into this week's message. But look at Ezekiel chapter 2. I want to look at, first of all, before we get into, in this message, is I titled it Receiving Prophecy. It's good to know how to receive prophecy. And there's so many believers, not a lot, but there's a lot of believers out there, not a lot, but there is a lot, right, of believers out there that just, they're almost like prophecy junkies. Amen? Where they're just looking for the new, what's the latest prophecy? And they'll sign up for the weekly prophecy or the monthly prophecy. And maybe some of them even, they'll pay $19.99 a month to get this month's prophecy. And there's some guy out there or somebody just wheeling and dealing and making stuff up and just to kind of lead people along. Amen? Well, the Bible talks about there are false prophets in the world. Amen? So it's good to recognize what is real prophecy and what is not real prophecy. And I'm not going to name any names with, you know, that's between God and those ministries. Amen. But it's good as a believer that you understand, first of all, this is the word of prophecy. Amen. Is there anything in this book that has not happened yet? Yes. Amen. I can think of one right now. By His stripes I was healed, and yet I'm not completely and totally healed right now. Amen. But the word says, I was healed. So therefore, I call me healed. Amen. Is anybody in heaven in this room yet? No. But we know that after this life, the word says, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Praise His holy name, right? Is anybody filthy rich? How about clean rich? Forget filthy, right? Anybody rich in this room yet? Just totally, you are right there, financially. Not me either, amen? But we are on our way to increase financially, amen? The Word of God declares this. He became poor so you and I could become rich. If you sow, you will reap, amen? So these are just some of the things. And, of course, Revelation talks about things that haven't happened yet. And there's just so much. But it's important to know that every word of prophecy should be based in the Word of God. Amen. Not in somebody's experience. How many so-called, you know, false religions were birthed out of a vision somebody had, you know, or they met an angel or whatever. And it might be, you know, there might be fragments of this in it, but it's not the Word of God. Amen. And so many are deceived and led astray by these types of things. It's important as believers that we know the difference. Amen. Look at Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Ezekiel, by the way, is a good prophet. Amen. Amen. Praise God for good prophets. And there are still prophets on the earth today. Amen. And he said to me, now that's a key thing right there. We don't have to go any farther than that. And Ezekiel is saying, and he, who is he? God said to me. All right, there's a good sign of a prophet. God is talking to this man, right? Well, how do we know the man isn't lying? Well, is it in the Word, right? Amen. Well, let's read on. He said, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. Then the Spirit entered me, And when he spoke to me, he set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. This is important. This is important in terms of a prophet. A prophet should be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. And the prophet should be hearing from God, not hearing from some other spirit. How many know there's a lot of spirits in this world that are not the Spirit of God? Amen. And the devil, the Bible says, will come as an angel of light. He is a fallen angel, right? He can put on any disguise. If Jesus himself walked into this room and you say, what? I mean, I've never seen Jesus before, but looks like how I think he would look. The robe, the sash, the beard, you're still going to test him. Because why? It may not be Jesus. Amen? If a heavenly being appeared in this room, an angel, right? I think we would know. Amen. They can come in disguise and so forth. But, and these are Bible things. But it's important to know whether something is of God or of the devil. Amen. An angel appeared in this room and said, yes, I have come from the throne of heaven. And he's got the white, you know, and this kind of stuff, just bright or whatever. And he says, you know, someone in this room is going to die today. Goodbye. Does that line up with this? No. No. We serve the Prince of Life, not the Prince of Death. A prophetic word should not put fear on God's people. Amen? A prophetic word, let me just preach on here. Amen? And he said to me, Son of Man, I am sending you to the children of Israel. Okay, there's another key word. Who is sending the prophet? God is sending the prophet. Amen? To a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me, they and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. For they are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. See, the prophet is speaking for the Lord. Amen. He's not speaking of himself. He's speaking for the Lord. As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions. Do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks. Though they are a rebellious house, you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. Amen. So the prophet of God is bringing a word from God. Amen? And we need to, I've heard Keith Moore teach this. He said, you know, you need to check even if it's an accredited prophet. Because just because their prophetic word was right this past week doesn't mean it is today. What if a great prophet of God just decided, you know what? I'm just going to start skewing this prophetic word to do something else, right? And there would be a lot of people that would follow because they're following the man. They're following the woman, not the Lord. Amen. I've seen this happen in ministry where somebody took a right turn in Albuquerque and hundreds and thousands of people followed them, but they're off. They're not preaching Jesus anymore. You know, but the person, they were in love with the personality, right? We have to be, as believers, we can't be stupid sheep. We have to be smart sheep, right? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Not my sheep know a prophet's voice, right? This is some of the things with some of these other religions is they'll say, well, the prophet came. And so we have to go through the prophet. Well, no, Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice and another they will not follow. Amen. Praise the Lord, right? So, the office of the prophet, the term prophet is defined simply in the concordance as inspired speaker, a foreteller, an inspired man, right? So they're filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the Lord, and they're speaking the word of God as the Lord has given them. God is putting something inside them to speak to his people. Amen. 1 Corinthians 8:1, this is a very key component here of prophecy in anything we do for the Lord. But now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. But this is the key, the thing I'm looking at here. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Somebody say that. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Amen. And that word puffs up means makes arrogant. And edification or edifying means builds up. So the prophetic word needs to be, like anything else we do for God, needs to be based on and based in God loves me. The love of God. The love of God has to be the base. If it were, you know, in pest control, you know, we have pesticides and there's an active ingredient that makes the pesticide do what it's supposed to do, right? The love of God is the active ingredient in the prophetic word, right? Everything God shares with his people is because he loves his people. He loves his people. Amen. So the love of God is foundational. It needs to be based in the love of God, and the love of God builds up. It does not tear down. It tears down the devil, destroys the works of the devil, but the love of God builds the church. That's why I picked that awesome picture off of Google Images. Amen. Jesus is coming to build his church. On this rock, I will build my church. Build my church. Amen. Why is there so much strife and discord and division in the church globally today? Because there's a devil out to kill and steal and destroy. And he does it through strife and division and discord. Where Jesus' plan is to build up the body. Build it up. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 4. The Word of God says this: pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So see, that prophecy is a spiritual gift. Now, there's the office of the prophet, but there's also the gift of prophecy that really any believer can believe for. Amen? Praise God. Well, what does that mean? Well, you can prophesy over yourself. What do I prophesy? Well, you prophesy this, right? I took medication this morning for high blood pressure, but in Jesus' name, I'm not going to be on it forever. I prophesy that by his stripes I was healed, and I'm moving towards total freedom from all prescription drugs. Amen. My eyes are staying strong. My body's staying strong. Hallelujah. I say that over myself. I apply the blood. That's what you're doing. You're prophesying over yourself. Praise the Lord. Based in the love of God and based in the word of God. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks, here we go, edification. Here's how you know a prophet right here, okay? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Everybody say edification, exhortation, and comfort to men, right? He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. This is one great reason to pray in tongues, because you're building yourself up in your faith when you pray in tongues. This is why, one of the reasons why the devil has so tried to freak people out about praying in tongues and keep them away from it, because the devil's full of pride, right? And he hates people. He does not want people to be built up in their faith, so he destroys things and the reputation of things that can bring about that, right? So pray, somebody say, pray in tongues. Pray in tongues a lot. Amen. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Edifies the church. Edifies the church. Now, the word edification means building, right? This picture here, building up. Building up. So when you hear a prophetic word, it should build you. It may bring correction, absolutely, but it'll build you up. The idea is to build you up in God, right? Now, to somebody who's not a believer and is trying to blow up Israel, that'll sound like bad news to them. That is judgment to them, amen? But we're talking here specifically about the church, the church, the church. God sends his prophet to the church, to his people, amen? He'll send him to kings and leaders as well, but amen. But we're talking about specifically the prophetic word to the church and receiving prophetic words over our lives. So should we just receive any prophetic word that comes out because it's a so-called prophetic word from a so-called prophetic ministry from a so-called prophet? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You got to be a smart little sheep. Be in your Bible. Know what your Bible says. And don't be a prophecy junkie. Amen. Be a word junkie. Be a word rat. Ever heard of a gym rat? They're always in the gym, right? Be a word rat. You are in the Word all the time, all the time, all the time. Speaking the Word, reading the Word, hearing the Word preached. The word edification also means confirmation. So when you get a prophetic word, it should already confirm in your spirit something you're already believing God for. Right? And I know there's many, I've heard of many stories of people being in a meeting like this or in a church service or there's a special guest and the guy will break out, call somebody out in the room and say, "Brother so-and-so, stand up, I have a word for you." And then Brother so-and-so will testify later and say something like, "Man, the guy read my mail." Right? That's a prophetic word that confirms something that God is already doing in his life. I remember my uncle many years ago had this happen in a church. He was believing God for a house, and he didn't tell anybody about it. And the guy, he got called out in the middle of a service, and the minister or the speaker there told him, "You're basically, in a nutshell, your house is coming, what you're believing for." He was already believing God, asking God for this. That was a confirming word to him. It confirms something in him. Amen? So in other words, a prophet, if a prophet calls you out and tells you, you know, "God said you're supposed to, brother so-and-so, go to China right now. Pack your bags, you're going to China." Well, if China wasn't already in his heart, that is not accurate. Throw it out. Amen. You understand what I'm saying, right? So building people up, confirming the word God has already spoken to you. This is why we need to be in the word and in prayer for ourselves, because God will speak to you about things. Amen. And then you'll hear things preached in a service or preached by CD. I've heard things online that have been preached years ago and spoke to something I'm going through now. That is called being in the Spirit, because in the Spirit there's no time or space. You can hear something preached in 1969 that speaks to you in 2017. I heard Brother Copeland on a cassette tape the other day, and he was preaching about praying for our nation and so forth. And a lot of the things he said about praying for our leaders applies to today. Today. It was like, man, that is so today. There's no time or space in the Spirit. Amen. Exhortation. And these are just brief definitions, but to call near. Amen. A prophetic word should bring you closer to the Lord, right? Closer to God. I remember hearing Brother Copeland again not too long ago preaching on what he was calling blessing blockers. And he was speaking at a church service live on the internet, and I was watching this, and there was something in my life I knew was blocking. And I'll tell you what, he might as well have been sitting right there with me at the table. Because it was like, that is for me. Amen? What did it do? It brought me, it was a corrective word, but it brought me closer to Jesus. Amen? So it's a call near, an invitation. It's not something you have to do. This is an invitation to come close to God. And prayer is in there. There's prophetic prayers and so forth, right? So exhortation and edification. And then comfort. Comfort, one of the big words is encouragement. If you come out of a so-called prophetic service and you feel discouraged, well, that ain't God. Right? Now, there's checkpoints there. Did it discourage you because you're convicted about something? Or did it discourage you because it's like, man, the world is ending. What this guy said is right, the world is over. That ain't right. That ain't right. You should come out of those prophetic times encouraged, built up, right? Closer to God, closer to Jesus. Hallelujah. These are key components of how you can tell if it's an accurate thing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Look at Numbers 22, 1 through 12 here. Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab, on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho. The Israelites in this portion are taking land that God has given them and so forth. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw that all Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. So Moab said to the elders of Midian, "Now this company will lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass of the field." And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of Moabites at that time. Then he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Peor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of the people, to call to him, saying, "Look, a people has come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are settling next to me." So this guy knows he's about to lose his stuff to God's people. God has given them his land and so forth. "Therefore, please come at once. Curse this people." So he's calling on this guy Balaam to come and curse God's people, right? "Come and curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land, for I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the diviner's fee in their hand, and they came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak. And he said to them, "Lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you. As the Lord speaks to me, so the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam." Then God came to Balaam and said, "Who are these men with you?" And Balaam said to God, "Balak, the son of Zippor, king of the Moab, has sent to me, saying, 'Look, a people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them out.'" So he's trying to pay this guy to curse God's people. That doesn't really say anywhere this guy is a prophet. He's obviously not with the people of Israel, so he's some sort of a diviner, foreteller. Amen? That's the devil's version of a prophet. Basically, right? A wizard, witch, warlock, right? Witch doctor, whatever. Amen? So Balaam, and God said to Balaam, "You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." So God came down even to Balaam and told him, "You're not going to curse these people because they're blessed." Now, if God would tell this to a diviner, "You are not going to curse my people because they are blessed," why would he tell a prophet to come and curse his people? He would not. He would not. He does not. He still does not. Why? Because his people are blessed. Somebody say, "I am blessed." So a prophetic word from God is going to bless you, encourage you, build you up, strengthen you, maybe correct you. Man, if you're God's daughter or son, get ready for correction because it's coming. Praise God. So God is going to bless his people. He's still going to bless his people. He still does bless his people. He is blessing his people. And somebody say, "I'm his people." Amen. So I want to read to you now some of these prophetic words that we're standing on. Amen. And it's important when you do receive a prophetic word that you don't just blow it off. Right? Okay, I'll take that and then forget about it. Amen. No, when you're standing on a word from the Lord, you're standing on it. You're saying, "You know what, devil? This is what I'm believing for this year. I'm flying alongside with the prophet in this." And it's important for the prophet in the church, the pastor, the prophet, teacher, to work together, right? We're all on the same project here. Amen. We're all a team. Praise God. So the Lord has, like I said, connected us with some of these ministries here because he's got plans that he's doing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And by the way, you know a cool thing you can do if you're interested in learning more about this? You can go to Eagle Mountain's website, emic.org, and they have an exhaustive history. And you can listen to any sermon that's been preached there for years. And go to the New Year's Eve services. New Year's Eve services. You'll hear Brother Copeland bring that prophetic word for the year. And whether it was preached in 2012 or 2013 or 2010 or whatever, that's still the prophetic word. There's not really an end to it. You just say, "You know what? I believe that today, Lord. I receive that today." Hallelujah. These are just great ways to learn and keep growing in God. Amen. But Kenneth Copeland, he said this. The Lord shared with him this, that this is a year of fabulous outpourings from heaven. fabulous outpourings from heaven. And he said this, I'm going to read this to you. This coming year is not going to be anything like anybody has thought up to now. This is a year of fabulous outpourings from heaven. Notable miracles at the hands of not only ministers in the fivefold ministry, but just among the people. Believers will lay hands on the sick and notable miracles will be done. Praise God. But watch for the children. Watch for the children coming forth with miracle-working power manifest around them. And they are just children, and they will be just children. And I'm not talking about 15 to 20-year-olds. Of course, they're involved. But saith the Lord, watch the little ones. A child shall lead them. A child shall lead them. Many things are going to be happening in the kingdom of God in 2017, and it won't be anything like you thought. It'll be grander and greater, an outpouring such as never been seen before, saith the Spirit of grace. Somebody say amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Redeemed Life Radio broadcast. Check us out on the web at redeemed-church.org. You can hear many free full messages there and get info on service time and location. You can also correspond with us by mail at P.O. Box 1248, Washougal, Washington, 98671. Until next week, this is Steve Livengood reminding you to keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.